In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout Lent, we've gained much wisdom. How to use our hands to serve, to be faithful to God, and to trust in His word and will. And this evening, I'd like to talk about the one place that all of this comes together, the home. Tonight, I'd like to focus on marriage and raising kids. Now, you may say, Vicar, what do you have to know about that? Are you speaking from experience? No, I am not. And praise be to God for that, because I can tell you what He thinks instead. Originally, I wanted to throw in how we act in our communities and how that impacts also how we act in the church and the world around us, but I felt led to focus on the home. Because it all starts in the home. How we act in church, how we act out in the world, everything that we do, every good thing comes from the home. One of the greatest blessings God gives us is the home. Marriage, family, and children are not accidental parts of life, but they are a part of the first institution set up by God in the beginning. Yet today, many families struggle. Homes are often filled with stress, conflict, and confusion about roles and responsibilities. The truth of the matter is when we move away from God's wisdom, the home begins to suffer. But God has not left us without guidance. The book of Proverbs gives us practical wisdom for everyday life. And in digging through Proverbs 20 through 29, a theme I felt led to expound on is how parents live, how children are raised, and how a household is shaped. Wisdom in the home looks like a marriage that reflects Christ's love and forgiveness. It is one where husbands lead with strength, sacrificial love, and consideration for their wives. It is one where wives honor, listen to, and allow their husbands to lead without railing against him. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That means a husband's love is meant to be sacrificial. Christ loved the church so much that he laid down his very life for her. And in the same way, a husband leads by serving, protecting, and loving his wife. And the passage also calls on wives to respect and support their husbands in this endeavor. Marriage, it's not a competition for authority. It is a partnership built on love, sacrifice, and respect. All three of these things can be wrapped up into one word, though. Faithfulness. Solomon says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Faithfulness is rare, says Solomon, but it is incredibly valuable. When a husband and wife are faithful to each other, sacrificially showing love to each other and forgiving each other, they are being faithful to each other and to God. And in doing so, they create stability in the home. Remember our discussion a few weeks ago about our hands and our mouths, that we are to live honestly and with what? With integrity. Solomon speaks again on this integrity. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Children are blessed when they grow up watching parents who live with integrity and love towards one another. Put simply, the foundation of parenting is not exactly style, but it is the relationship between husband and wife. A strong marriage creates a strong home. And children see that. They watch every move their parents make. They see how dad leads the family in prayer and how he respects mom. They see how mom upholds the words of their father. When parents walk in the integrity that God has asked of them, the children will, oftentimes, naturally follow. We often get caught up in trying to control our children and their behaviors. I'm not talking about correction which many of us as children need, and I'm sure some of us still need now. But I'm talking about trying to force them into a mold unnaturally. Before we resort to force, maybe we ought to ponder our own behaviors and our own habits. Because even the smallest minute thing that we do is seen, even if we don't think about it. Children watch how their parents handle stress. They watch how their parents speak to one another. They watch whether their parents live out their faith consistently. Your strength of character may work out better than the strength of your hand, if you catch my drift. Solomon tells us a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. There's something you need to teach to your family, both you, spouses. It's integrity. If parents pursue wealth, status, and success, but they neglect integrity and faithfulness, the home suffers. But when children see genuine faith, humility, honesty, and love, they learn those qualities naturally. Parents are the first and most influential teachers a child will ever have. The greatest lesson parents can give to their children is a life that reflects godly wisdom. Now, you may say, Vicar, that's all very pretty. And I am doing my best to be an example, but sometimes my kid is a little hellion. In those cases, Solomon speaks of discipline. In our culture, discipline is often misunderstood. Some think discipline is harsh or unloving, while others avoid it completely. Now, I'm not here to tell you to spank your kids or not, but I can tell you what Solomon says. He says discipline is an act of love. He says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know the famous paraphrase, spare the rod, spoil the child. Whether you're a pro-spank and anti-spank, Solomon makes it clear. Either way, a child still needs some form of correction / punishment to teach them about the repercussions of their actions and accountability. The Bible recognizes something very, very realistic. Children are not born wise. In fact, even adults continue in foolishness. We are born with a tendency towards foolishness. And without guidance, correction, and training, that foolishness grows. Again, do not withhold correction from a child. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. The point is not to break your child, to open up that closet and use all the rods that are in there. It is for their protection. Loving discipline corrects direction before destructive habits take root. Solomon says that if a child is left to himself and those destructive habits do take root, that this child will bring shame to his mother. A child left completely without boundaries or corrections will struggle later in life. Biblical discipline is not about anger. It is about training. It is patient. It is consistent. And it is motivated by love and not by frustration. And parents who discipline wisely prepare their children for life. So, we've covered our actions and what we are to do when it comes to our marriages and our families. But what about our words? Homes are shaped by the way people speak to one another. Solomon says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. The right word at the right time can encourage, guide, and strengthen a person. But negative words can do great harm. As we've gone over, our words are often the first thing we resort to before our actions. We speak before we do. And sometimes our words are very effective. Proverbs 25 compares a contentious person to the constant dripping on a rainy day. In other words, constant arguing and complaining can wear down the peace of the home. It may just drip a little bit, until you decide to lay down for that nap you've been craving all day and the drip keeps going and you can't sleep. That is what contention in the home is like. Think about the difference words make. Encouraging words build confidence in children. Kind words strengthen marriages. Gentle correction helps people grow. When was the last time that you praised your children and that you told them you loved them? When was the last time you thanked your spouse for uplifting you? When was the last time you acknowledged that you needed your spouse? I know we don't like to use the word needed. I know I have often been told that when it comes to who you are looking for in this life, you don't want to need them. You just want to want them. You know, you're good to go. If something happened, you'll be just fine. You don't need them. And sure, that may be true initially. But something I always get brought back to is when my father passed. And my mother told me, you know, Seth, I never realized truly how much I needed your father till he was gone. Because you just naturally grow to need them. And that is okay. That is what it means for the two to become one. So once again, when was the last time that you acknowledged to your spouse that I need you? For you are the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Instead of doing that, though, what is it that you say? Is it constant criticism, sarcasm? Is it anger? Healthy homes are not perfect homes. We get on each other's nerves. But a healthy home, they are homes where people speak with grace, patience, and love. Returning to children, once again, Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word train is very important. It implies intentional effort on your part. Just because you put a Bible, a Book of Concord, and a small catechism into the hands of your six-year-old does not mean that they will automatically become good Christian children. They must be guided towards it. And you, as parents, are to do it. Yes, your pastor can help you. He can take them through confirmation when they are ready for that. But do not leave the teaching of Scripture and Christian living up to him. Because he sees you and your children, maybe, twice a week. Maybe. Maybe less than that. Your children see you, listen to you, usually, and learn from you every day. Solomon says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. A godly home does not happen by accident. It does not just come about. It is built through wisdom, patience, and consistent effort. And if I may be so bold, it is every Christian parent's calling to instruct their child the core parts of the Christian faith. Look no further than the Great Commission. Yes, that is for everyone outside our home. We are to minister to everyone who is not a Christian, who has not heard the Word of God, and we are to baptize them and teach them all that Christ has commanded us. But think about what you do with your children. You are commanded to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then, well, what's that last bit that Jesus says after that? Teach them all that Jesus commanded us. You are the ones who will explain why we do what we do in our divine services. You are the ones who shows them how to pray. You are the one called to their instruction. And why is this all important? Solomon says, the father of the righteous will rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. There is deep joy when children grow into wise and godly adults. No family is perfect, and every home has its struggles. But when parents commit themselves to loving each other, living with integrity, disciplining with love, and training their children intentionally, it pays off. The goal of parenting is not raising perfect children. The goal is raising children who know God and pursue wisdom. Now, this doesn't always work out the way that we intend. You may say, Vicar, I did all I could to raise my kids in the faith. We did all we could to raise them in the faith. But now, you may say, they've fallen away, or they don't go to church, or they don't think very highly of faith. It's not a big deal anymore. Maybe they've fallen astray completely, or maybe they are seeing someone who is not Christian. You make it sound like, Vicar, that when we do these things, it's 100% guaranteed that this is how it will turn out, that my kid will be the perfect little LCMS Lutheran when he turns 18. Well, Proverbs does not guarantee anything except the faithfulness of our Lord. Not even our own faithfulness does it guarantee. When Solomon makes a statement of do this so that this thing happens to you, or don't do this, or this thing will happen to you, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, it is not a 100% guarantee. When Solomon says do good things so that good things happen to you, he is saying that, well, this is usually the outcome, but not always the outcome. So when I say all this stuff about marriage and raising children, it is all generally speaking true. It's from the Word of God. What more could you want? But sometimes something happens. Kids fall away. And you and your spouse just look at each other and you go, where did we go wrong? It's heartbreaking. But something to remember, though, is that nothing is guaranteed in this life. Though that nothing is guaranteed in this life, that does not mean that we ought to grow discouraged. We are not to grow discouraged and still trying to teach our children, even though they have clear, at least according to them, have clearly outgrown our instruction, does not mean that we are to cease praying for them and to leave them into the hands of God. Well, we do leave them in the hands of God, but we pray. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that God would have mercy on them. And that is all that oftentimes we can do. And maybe sometimes we think to ourselves, I could have did better as a parent. Sure, maybe. If that's what you think, take heart, because God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you for that. Furthermore, remember last week's message. God's will shall be done, and he will work all things together for those, for the good of those who love him. And we may not see it. We may not understand precisely how our children not taking their faith seriously could possibly end well. But God is in control. And he knows all things. So take heart. Forgive your children. And pray for them. And what better way to sum up all of this than that? Forgive. Forgive in your marriages. When your wife is nagging you, hounding your steps, and trying to maybe usurp your authority in your mind, forgive her. When your husband is getting on your nerves, being stubborn, and maybe even failing at his duty at leading the house and teaching children, forgive him. When your kids do not listen, they rail against your authority, and maybe even fall away in their adulthood, forgive them. When maybe you haven't taught your children as you should have, or maybe pray with them as you should have, or have left that responsibility to someone else, forgive yourselves. Because God has forgiven you and your children already. It is his forgiveness that we proclaim to our children and to our spouses and to the world around us. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us always.